We turn in God's inspired word to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Text for the sermon this morning is verses 5 through 15. And because of the length of the section, we will not reread that. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. And what follows to the end of the chapter is the incident with the two harlots that were claiming the one baby, and Solomon's wise discernment of that situation. And we'll read then just the last verse as it summarizes that. And it says, "All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment." And we read the word of God that far. Again, the text for our sermon is verses 5 through 15. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has placed before our office bearers very great and weighty responsibilities in the church. Men who now lay down the office after serving for 3 years can attest to that fact. And who continue to serve in office know that as well. Undoubtedly, the men who've just been installed into office are acutely aware of that as well, the daunting responsibility that God has placed before these men in special office. That may raise in the minds of the office bearers the question, what is it that we need to do this work? What is it that we must be praying for regularly? And that question ought to be in our minds as well as a congregation. We receive these men from the Lord. What do they need? And what is it that I, as a member of this congregation, can pray for specifically for these men? Office bearers need boldness and courage. And they, and we for them, can pray for that. They need boldness and courage to do this work to God's glory and for the good of the church, come what may, in spite of any opposition that they may face, doing that work without living in the fear of men or seeking the favor of men. Our office bearers need compassion and patience. They must pray for that, and we must pray that for them, that as they labor amongst the precious sheep of Jesus Christ, that they do so with a patient and a compassionate spirit. And our office bearers need wisdom. Wisdom is indispensable for labor in any of the special offices in the church. Wisdom is essential for all of us in the Christian life. But how important is wisdom for work as a pastor or elder or a deacon in the church? It's almost impossible to overemphasize the importance of wisdom in carrying out this work. Office bearers need wisdom. They must pray for that regularly, and we as a congregation must pray that God would bestow upon them much wisdom for that work. That was the request of Solomon as he was installed into a new office, as he began his reign as king over Israel. Solomon had a daunting responsibility before him. He was following in the footsteps of his father David, a man after God's own heart, who had ruled well for 40 years and had left to Solomon an enormous kingdom. Solomon spends the first days of his reign putting down challengers and killing off traitors, and in so doing, solidifying his rule in Israel. But then as soon as he's able, he travels to Gibeon. Gibeon was a place just a few miles to the north of Jerusalem. And according to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, at that time, the tabernacle and the altar were placed at Gibeon. He goes to the tabernacle and he makes 1,000 sacrifices to beseech God for God's blessing upon his reign as king. After the sacrifices have been made, God appears to Solomon in a dream at night. He says to Solomon that Solomon may ask for anything that he wants, and God will give that to him. And Solomon prays the prayer every faithful office bearer. He prays for a wise and an understanding heart to rule God's people. Let's consider this text this morning under the theme, Solomon's request for wisdom. Let's notice, first of all, the need, secondly, the request, and then thirdly, the answer. Solomon's prayer for wisdom is born out of a deep sense of his own need and his dependence upon God. This prayer arises out of deep, true humility. And there's three aspects to that that we can identify from the passage. Three things that every office bearer must always have in view. First of all, every office bearer must have in view a proper perspective on oneself. Solomon's prayer arises out of an understanding of himself. He says at the end of verse 7, "I am but a little child." Now at that time, Solomon was probably about 20 years old, so he was not actually a child, he was a young man. Solomon is referring not to his age, but to his own sense of experience. From the point of view of experience, he feels as if he's just a little child. And that's the same idea with what he says at the end of verse 7, when he says, "I know not how to go out or come in." To go out and to come in, referring to the exercise of his office as king, as he went in and out amongst the people of God to shepherd them and to rule over them. Solomon knows his own inexperience. He's attuned to his own weaknesses and shortcomings. He's painfully aware of his own sins. Every faithful office bearer must always have in view a proper perspective of self. An understanding of one's own inexperience. Now perhaps the men who are being installed into office this morning especially feel that. One of the men entering into the office of elder for the first time, one of the men entering into the office of deacon for the first time, there's a sense perhaps of inexperience. But that's true for every office bearer, no matter how long they've served faithfully in the church. You can ask office bearers who've served faithfully for years and they'll say, there's things that come up that we've never experienced before. We've never had to deal with that before. We don't have experience with this issue. In addition to a sense of one's own inexperience, there's a sense of one's own weaknesses and shortcomings in carrying out the work. That's different from a false humility. A false humility is to say, I don't have any gifts at all, and there's no way that I could do the work because I'm not qualified for it. If a man doesn't have gifts or he's not qualified, then he mustn't allow his name to stand for office. God has entrusted to us gifts, and yet true humility is an understanding of our own weaknesses and shortcomings, and especially a painful awareness of our own sins. An office bearer realizes his own sins. The way in which he sins in the carrying out of his office that, apart from the preserving grace of God, would do detriment to the church of Jesus Christ. The office bearer must always have in view his proper perspective of self, not an elevation in pride, but humility before the face of God. It's good for us as a congregation to hear that. God has not placed perfect, sinless men into the special offices in the church. He's placed earthen vessels, men who are sinners, means as a congregation we bear patiently with them in their weaknesses and shortcomings and even sins. But an office bearer himself must know that. Then in the second place, an office bearer having a proper knowledge of self must also have a proper knowledge of the church. Solomon's prayer for wisdom arose, first of all, out of a sense of himself and knowing himself and his own weaknesses, But then secondly arose out of a proper perspective on the kingdom. Notice what he says in verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." And the end of verse 9, "For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" David had entrusted to Solomon an enormous kingdom, a kingdom that stretched from the Euphrates River in the northeast to the borders of Egypt in the southwest. A multitude of people in Israel and then the other nations that they'd conquered. It meant a tremendous responsibility for Solomon. He had to rule over these people carefully. He had to make good judgments and proper laws to govern them. There were going to be knotty, messy situations that came for his adjudication, such as two harlots coming, claiming the same baby and no way to prove who's right or wrong. People are a great people. But what adds to the weight for Solomon is that these are God's people. Both of those verses which we just read, he refers to them as God's people whom God has chosen. He's not any ordinary king ruling over a nation, as great a responsibility as that is. He's ruling over God's people. The people whom God has chosen, the people whom God loves. And Solomon is responsible for their spiritual well-being. Not just their national and civil and economic well-being, but their spiritual well-being. To care for God's people in their relation to the Lord. That too must always be in view for office bearers. A knowledge of self, but also an understanding of the kingdom and the church of Jesus Christ whom they serve. The kingdom, the church, is great. Now in the midst of this world, it's a small remnant. But the kingdom is great and the work is great. Our congregation, it's not the largest congregation in our denomination, but there is some 200 souls here entrusted to the care of office bearers for their shepherding and for their nurture and for their care. There's aged saints, widows and widowers that need care. There's middle-aged believers who need care. There's young couples that need guidance and direction and a good example. There are teenagers who need good counsel and direction. There's little children, swarms of little children that needed to be tended to carefully as little lambs of the Lord Jesus Christ. And humbly we confess we're a congregation of sinners. We're gathered together, everyone, as sinners, which means there's going to be issues, there's going to be problems, there's going to be knotty, messy situations that may arise in the providence of God. We need our judgment and adjudication. And we're to care for God's people. That's the weight. That's the seriousness. This work that God has called office bearers to, the care, the nurture, the shepherding of the precious souls of God's people. These people whom God has chosen, whom God loves with an everlasting love, a love so great that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for them. The care that God has for the souls of these people means a tremendous responsibility for office bearers, seeing to their spiritual needs, caring for them and their relationship to the Lord. May office bearers never forget, first of all, who they are, and secondly, who it is that they serve, the church. But then thirdly, office bearers must never lose sight of the fact that ultimately they serve God. A proper knowledge of self, a proper knowledge of the congregation, but ultimately a proper knowledge of God. Solomon's prayer was born out of that knowledge of God. Verse 6, he says, "And thou hast kept for him, David, this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." Solomon is saying there, the only reason why I'm king is due to God's kindness and his grace. It's not that I deserve that. It's not that I'm king simply because I'm David's son and it just got handed down to me as it ought. He's saying there, God is the one who placed me into this office, which means then that he is God's servant. And you notice he refers to himself at least three times in his prayer as God's servant. Verse 7 is one example. "Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king." Here is Solomon lifted up to the highest position of authority in the kingdom. He rules over this vast and wide expanse. All owe him allegiance and respect. And Solomon goes before God and he says, "I'm a servant, I'm a slave, I'm a servant before thy face, O God." Solomon understands God is the king, God is the one who rules over his people. And though placed into a special office, he is merely a servant of God, called to serve God by serving his people, one day having to give an account to God for how he served God's people. That too lives in the heart of office bearers, and it ought to. The fact that they've received this office from the Lord. The men who stood up this morning and were installed and gave their yes to the questions, gave yes as an answer to the question, do they feel in their heart that they're called of God himself to this office through the church, but God himself? Office bearers don't stand in that office because of their gifts and abilities and their personalities in the end. God is the one who places a man into office, which means they're servants. Jesus Christ is the King of the church. Jesus Christ rules over all of the church. And office bearers are servants of the King of the church. There's honor for a man who serves in special office, certainly. But that honor really pales in comparison and entirely fades from view as the man carries out the work of the office. The whatever honor there is to the office means nothing to that man because he's consumed with the work of the office and the responsibility of serving God by serving his church. Office bearers will give an account of their service in the judgment day. As we all stand before Jesus and give account of how we've served him and all of our callings and responsibilities, office bearers give an account before King Jesus of how they've served him by serving his church. A man who views special office in the church as a way to get something for himself, his own honor and prestige and popularity, or whatever it is that he wants to get out of it for himself, has totally lost sight of the proper view of office. It's not rule. It's not being elevated above others. It's a position of humble service to King Jesus. The office bearers never lose sight these three things: who they are and their own weaknesses and sins, who they serve, the precious church of Christ, who it is ultimately that they serve, King Jesus. And it's with that knowledge, born out of that humility, that arises then the urgent prayer, "God, give wisdom." That was Solomon's request, born out of true humility. Solomon prays for wisdom. After he's offered his sacrifices at Gibeon, God appears to him in a dream. God says to him, "I'll give to you anything that you want. Ask it, I'll give it." Solomon could have asked for riches, unspeakable wealth that no man had ever possessed before. He could have asked for honor and prestige and popularity so that his name would be known throughout all of the world. He could have asked for the lives of his enemies and the defeat then of those enemies in victory in battle. He could have asked for a long life and a long reign over God's people. He did not ask for any of those things, which ought impress upon us the urgency in Solomon's own soul of what he did ask for then. If he's willing to put aside all of these other things that have such a draw and appeal, not to ask for riches and honor and enemies' lives and his own long life, but instead to ask for something else. That something else must be so important. He asked for wisdom. Verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." And in verse 12, in God's answer, we read, "Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." What's translated there as understanding heart literally means a hearing heart. Solomon requests of God a hearing heart. That in his heart, Solomon might truly hear the voice of God, the word of God, directing him in all of his rule as king. He's praying for a humble heart that hears the word of God. And in addition to that, that hearing heart is a hearing of the needs of God's people, so that understanding the word of God and the will of God, he also understands the particular needs of God's people. And that is understanding. Understanding is, it's more than just knowledge and a head full of facts. Understanding is the ability to discern truth in the midst of all of this, these facts and information. To discern the truth of God. To discern what is His will for His people. A spiritual understanding and a hearing heart is what Solomon asks for. And wisdom. And wisdom, though related to understanding, is distinct. Understanding is that spiritual knowledge and discernment of truth from falsehood, good from evil. Wisdom is the ability to act upon that, to take that spiritual knowledge and understanding and to do what's right to the glory of God and for the good of his people. Solomon requests understanding, discernment, good judgment, and wisdom. The grace from God to take what he knows and discerns, to act upon it then, to say the right things at the right time, to do the right things, to make good laws, to make proper judgments in cases that come before him, so that it serves God's glory and the good of his kingdom and people. Office bearers need wisdom. Wisdom is demanded in all the aspects of the work in special office. The prayer of office bearers today and as a congregation for our office bearers is that, first of all, God give them understanding. That God give them hearing hearts. Office bearers request of God a hearing heart, spiritual grace to, first of all, hear the Word of God. So that as we study the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preached, that we come to understand as office bearers what is the will of God for his people? What is the truth concerning the church and life in the church? Office bearers pray for a hearing heart with respect to God's people. If there's two books that office bearers always must study, the first is the Word of God, so that they hear God's Word. But then the second is the book of God's people, so that they're attuned to the peculiar, particular needs and circumstances and struggles of the people of God. They're slow to speak and they're quick to hear as they live in the midst of the congregation. That's understanding. That's good spiritual judgment and discernment. And they need wisdom. Spiritual ability to take that knowledge, the knowledge that they've heard from the Word of God and the knowledge they've gained from hearing the people of God, and to apply that, to be able to rightly act upon that, to employ the best means to serve the greatest end, the glory of God and the good of his people. They need wisdom to say the right thing at the right time, to do the right thing at the right time, to make the right decisions exactly when they're needed. Wisdom is demanded of elders, their work, all of their work. They need wisdom to be able to correct and encourage the minister of the word as they oversee his preaching and all of his labors. They need wisdom as they exercise the key of Christian discipline, so that with understanding and discernment they can study some knotty, messy situation in a family or the life of some individual who's walking astray. Know the Word of God that needs to be applied to that particular person at that particular time. And the wisdom to bring that Word in the right way. They need wisdom to care for the particular needs of God's people. Wisdom to know what's the need of that mother sitting across from me at family visitation? What are her peculiar struggles and needs that she has? And then the wisdom to take the Word of God and to apply that to her in those needs. To know the need of a widow or a widower that we're visiting and their peculiar circumstances. The need of a teenager that we're talking to after church. And the peculiar struggles and difficulties that a teenager has. The wisdom to take God's Word and to apply it to them and their particular needs. Elders need wisdom when they go to classes and to synod. And perhaps with weighty agendas to sift through. With understanding and then with wisdom to speak when necessary. To make decisions that honor God and serve the good of His church. Wisdom is demanded of deacons, their work. Wisdom is necessary as they collect and then distribute the mercies of Jesus Christ. It requires of them that they do so with carefulness and prudence, as the form says, so that they're able spiritually to discern widows from widows indeed, as 1 Timothy 5 says, those who truly are poor and those who are not, true objects of mercy. But then, at the same time, to balance that with compassion, with simplicity, as the form speaks of, so that they give liberally and generously and out of compassion for the care of the poor. That takes tremendous wisdom on the part of deacons. It takes wisdom to go and to visit the poor. To do so in compassion with the Word of God to comfort them in that trial. Or to speak to them about their needs and to help them grow in their stewardship, perhaps, and the principles of the Word of God that speak to the care and stewardship of finances. It takes wisdom for deacons to deal properly with brothers, fellow office bearers in the Philippines with whom there's contact and work that's done in the across a whole separate culture. Wisdom is demanded. The deacons and their work. That wisdom comes alone from the all-wise King of the church. Office bearers then pray. Pray earnestly, pray regularly for wisdom at the beginning of every meeting. Pray for wisdom at the beginning of every visit. Pray for wisdom in all of your work, brothers. Pray for wisdom and a hearing, understanding heart to serve God's people. And, beloved people of God, pray for your office bearers in that respect. This is one thing specifically that you know they need and you can pray for them. There are many things perhaps as a congregation that we don't know with respect to the office bearers. Men who keep confidentiality, who don't talk about all the work that's going on in the consistory room. You don't always know the needs that they have and the burdens that they bear, but you do know this. They need wisdom. Pray for these men. Pray regularly. Pray fervently. God would give our office bearers wisdom. We do that in the confidence that God is pleased with such prayers. He is pleased to answer such prayers and to bestow wisdom. God answered Solomon's prayer for a wise and an understanding heart. God also gave to Solomon everything else he had not asked for. riches and honor and a long life as he walked in obedience to the commands of God. God gave to Solomon wisdom so that he was the wisest of all the kings. And that's plain from the incident that follows in the chapter with those two harlots. And they come with one baby and both of them claiming that it's theirs. There's no way to prove whose it is conclusively. There's no eyewitnesses to the account. There they stand before Solomon waiting adjudication. A knotty, messy situation if there ever was one. Solomon displays wisdom, discernment, being able to resolve this incident. And that's the reason why it's contained here. It's just one evidence of the great wisdom that God had given to Solomon. Passage, 1 Kings chapter 4, later refers to that wisdom of Solomon as well. 1 Kings 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And then verse 34, there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. And that wisdom that God gave to Solomon is revealed as well in that God inspired Solomon to write the books of wisdom. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. God is pleased to hear and to answer such prayers that we offer to Him for wisdom. That's James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. As office bearers pray for wisdom, God is pleased to give that, to give a hearing heart, to hear the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, to know the needs of the Church of Christ, and to be able wisely to do what's glorifying to God and for the good of His Church. God is pleased to hear and answer our prayers for our office bearers and to bestow upon them much wisdom. God answers that prayer for Christ's sake. God answers Solomon's prayer after he's offered 1,000 sacrifices on the altar at the tabernacle. It's on the basis of those sacrifices that God is pleased to answer Solomon's request, sacrifices which pointed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of Israel were precious to God, His chosen people upon whom He'd set His love. He cared for them and for their spiritual well-being. He's pleased then for Christ's sake to give wisdom to Solomon so that Solomon can serve them. Serve them in such a way that it's for their spiritual good. So that Solomon can serve ultimately as a type of Christ among the people. It's for Christ's sake that God is pleased to answer our prayers. It's not on account of our worthiness or our fervency in prayer that God is pleased to answer. It's for Christ's sake. Not 1,000 sacrifices, but the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. In love for His chosen people and for their salvation. On that basis, God is pleased to give wisdom to office bearers so that they function as representatives of Jesus Christ. Representatives of the all-wise King of the Church among His people. that it serves the good, the beloved people of Jesus Christ. Office bearers, brothers, pray for wisdom. Pray for an understanding heart. Be assured, God will give. He will qualify and bestow such wise, understanding hearts. With the wisdom that God supplies and humility before His face, go forward in confidence in the work, encouraged in the work. With the wisdom that God supplies, you serve for His glory, for the good, the spiritual good of this congregation. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Thou art the all-wise God, King of the church, before whom we bow in humility, and we pray, give us wisdom, give to each one of us wisdom, deliver us from folly, cause that by Thy grace and Spirit we live to Thy glory in all of our life and all of our responsibilities. And we pray, give to our office bearers wisdom, understanding, hearing hearts, the wisdom and the courage and conviction to carry out their work. And bless it, Father, bless it for our good, for our spiritual good, and for the good of our generations after us. Pardon our many sins. Keep us from sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.